Well, hi, and welcome to the Brett and Ozzy show. It's now our, fourth week of getting together and discussing anything real estate in primarily British Columbia, but also around the world. We've had a crazy week, an election in the United States. We had our election in BC seems to be decided, but we don't really have Mr. Eby giving us any details. How do you see the world?
Well, definitely, you know, it seems like, they've got an election figured out in the States faster than we've got ours figured out here. They're still doing recounts out here in NBC. So there's a couple, but he is picking his, I guess, his cabinet. You know, as he's gotten lost a couple of his cabinet members, he's putting new people in charge. So, you know, we're having some of that. I'm a little bit concerned that, the streamlining that he talked about in respects to getting more and more real estate built, it seems to be put aside while we're having the election. And, a lot of the municipalities weren't in favor of this kind of stuff. So it'll be interesting to see when we start getting all these new builds going on. Burnaby's definitely clear about what they want, but everybody else, we're still, all other districts are looking at it still. They've got good plans. I've seen some very good plans for sure.
Well, there's Burnaby and Vancouver are the only ones who have any kind of regulations set. It's the only place you can go. Anywhere else you can't yet. The other thing is too that some of the promises that were made, like the 40% mortgage that the government was going to give everybody, well, it may not be quite as, and we don't really know, but maybe it only has to have a component of native investment or municipal investment before the mortgage is actually granted. So not just any deal that you want to make, you get the 40% mortgage.
Well, and I agree with you completely. Let's face it, you know, it's not like you're going to get a developer saying, oh yeah, I'm good with that plan. I mean, I'm sure that would affect their, so it either has got to be something with the Aboriginal land or what do you call it, Crown land or something like that, I would imagine.
Well, we don't know. Actually, I don't know why it should be. The idea is they're putting a second mortgage on your property, 40%, right. So it's $1 million property. You now treat it like a $600,000. You got a $400,000 mortgage coming from the government for 25 years at 1.5%. Pretty darn good. You and I, we read last week, that wasn't bad. But if the handicap and the devil in the details comes, no, you can only do it on certain developments. For instance, there's a development in Vancouver right now, which is actually a 99-year lease. Is it going to be a 99-year lease? So we don't know all the details. And we look forward with anticipation. And of course, in the United States, Mr. Trump won a resounding victory, and everybody's calling me and they want to know what that means to Canada. Well, I think that when we remember that Mr. Biden got elected on the second day, he killed the Keystone Pipeline. And I could give you dozens of examples that these were clearly anti-Canadian measurements that they did. But again, the devil is going to be in the details right now. It looks like the middle class and the so-called lower class won a resounding victory for themselves. And so Trump will has the power to put in all these changes. So I think we are in interesting times. In the meantime, locally, in October, we didn't have a bad month.
No, actually, we did quite well, Ozzy. Substantially better. When I say that, our average was about 11%. We're now up to 15% of the market selling. So, 11% is close to 1 out of 10 houses selling. 15%, maybe 1 out of 9 or 8. So when we say substantially better, we're still in a seller's market, in a buyer's market, I should say. There's still people cutting their prices, but sales are definitely up from where they were before.
Well, let's take a look. When we take a look at the, make sure that you.
Yeah, we can see you here.
Good. Okay, just first of all, let's just take a look back. If we take the October year preceding October, let's say from October 30th, 2020 to October 30th, 2021. Can you see my arrow there?
Absolutely.
Okay, so 14,481 sales the year preceding October 2021, and 7,335 this year. Wow.
Exactly, Ozzy. As a realtor, I like the number that you previously said, 14,481, because there's a lot more business going on and a lot
Look at the condos, 21,000, right? to and now down to 13,000. Now, and again, it went from 14 to 9 to 7 or 21 to 17 to 13. Then the prices, so when you take at the price, the average price in 2021 October was $1,918,000 in Vancouver. Hey, now it's, I mean, these are running totals. When people always right. ask me, how come the put doesn't match the October number? Well, this is a year's average price, really. But when you look at it, fact is prices were hanging in there, right? $1,009,000 to $2,001,000. And the condo was as low as $711,000, and now it's $815,000. In the last 3 years, it's been kind of stable.
Right. And that's a lot of the condos you'll see. It's a lot of it's because of the newer sales, I think, in that respect as well, where the older ones sell for a little bit less money. You know, the 20, 30 year old places, the newer ones are smaller, but they're more expensive.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's a very good point you make, because that's, we used to actually have used markets separately, the new market, because really as a percentage, there's really only for every one new house, we sell 8 used houses, right? So it's a much bigger market component. But look at the Fraser Valley. We look, there was 12,400 houses sold in that October 30th year leading up to it. And now it's 5,293. Wow. And condo sales are not quite as bad, from 7,000 to 4,300, but still a marked drop. So whatever the increases you see in the paper today, they're October this year over October last year. But when we take a look at the totality of our markets in the last 4 years, we're operating at 50% of the volume. I'm amazed how many realtors we still have. I mean, how they're sharing. I know you're getting your lion's share of the.
I'm getting my share, which I'm very thankful for. That thanks to you and people and my customers, Ozzy. But you're absolutely right. If there's over 5,000 local realtors in the Fraser Valley, and I think that's still the number, and I'll double check actually for next time we chat. But you know, sharing almost 1,000 or 1,300 sales, you know, it's a little skinny out there, obviously.
Well, again, the prices, a single family home at $1,005,000, this is again the running total, and the condo prices are better than they were. So overall, when we take a look, we have a lot less business than we did 4 years ago, and every year dropped to where we are now. Now, maybe from here on in, we are stable a little, because October 2023, we had 5,400 units. Now we still have about 5,300 units. It's not that much of a decline. But right. We would love to all be back to the 12,000 level in the Fraser Valley.
Well, exactly.
The interesting thing is, when we take a four-year look, like in Ausbus, by the way, all of these numbers you see, we publish them every month, and you can go back for the last 8 years to see them. And then, because we actually published these numbers since 1993, believe it or not. So,
and Ausbus is a great source. Ausbus is a great source. You guys really should be following it, because it's a great source of information when you're making a decision, when you're thinking about pricing and everything else and what the market's doing. Follow Ausbus.
Well, and remember, it's free, right? But if you put your email, you get it right away. When we write it on Sunday, you have it on Sunday. But we put it all on the net, but usually 10 days later. So if you looked at the 4 years, you can see, wow, we had a 25% increase this October on single family homes in Vancouver from 578 to 725. So, but before you bring out the champagne, in October 2020, we had 1,350. The heading has slipped. And in 2021, we had 1,100 units. So we're better than we were last year, and we were better than we were in 2022. But keep that in mind.
Like you said, a four-year running, you're half the sales.
Yeah, half the sales. Now, the price at $2,063,000. Last year was $2,200,000. That's down 8%. But it's about the same until 2020, when it was down as low as $1,007,000. Now, in June this year, we had $2,348,000. So it's a $285,000 decline from October right. to just last June. So that's where you and I were talking about, that there was some crunches on the price, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there's definitely, you know, when you've got motivation from the sellers and they need to move and they need to sell, they're going to be in effect. When you don't have as many buyers, you've got less people to choose from or less options to choose, and you need to move, you know, you deal with the prices that the market's dealing with at the time.
Well, that's right. So you're looking at the active listings, they're still up 6% and 9% on houses, 23% and 20% active and new on condos. That's right. Down from September, that we had more active listings in September. So that's a good sign. But the sales overall, as I pointed out, you know, we had 1,396 for condos. Not bad. Last year's was just 1,000. That's better than 2022. But in October 2021, we had 1,800, right? So right. Just keep all that in mind. The active listing at 23% and the new listings. City of Vancouver still has a lot of stuff on available, but not as many sales yet.
Right. One of the things too, Ozzie, that you're mentioning is that the active listings are coming down a little bit, you know, which makes the numbers look a little bit better as well. But you remember the time of year where today it's November the 7th, I believe. And, you know, heading into Christmas, we start, you know, people decide to hold off. Like they're not going to put the house on the market during Christmas time. They've got Christmas plays, families coming into town. They're going to be shopping, stuff like that. So this isn't a time of year where everybody lists their house, although a good time to be on the market because, you know, I've sold 8 houses Christmas morning, which is a kind of a weird stat, but I really have. It saves me from doing the dishes, you understand. And, you know, the morning dishes. But the thing is that if people are still looking, they're serious at this time of year. So, you know, it's not a bad time to be on the marketplace, even though there's less listings because you've got less competition. So that's good.
Well, as we used to teach that you have to have a stick of cinnamon boiling on the stove so that people come and you've got to have your tree and you've got to have the Christmas light in the yards. And but the point, you're right. I mean, whoever is coming looking for a house in Christmas time or even early in the new year, they're serious. So better stick with them. So when we look at the Fraser Valley, we had sales up 41%. Whoopee.
Yeah.
But against 2020, where there was 1,078, and last month we were 522, again, a 50% decline.
Yeah. But 522 is a lot better than 371, like you say.
Last year was not a good year. We just did an interview with Dan Schultz, who is a multi-level salesman. He sells apartment buildings, and he says 2023 was by far the lowest volume in the multi-level markets as well.
Well, and people have to have confidence in not only in residential, you know, multifamily, like you just said, but the, you know, when you're making decisions, you know, and the government keeps on with the uncertainty and everything else, people just sit on the sidelines and wait, you know, and hope they don't get into trouble. When you're hearing about personal bankruptcies and financial ruin and stuff like that, it scares people, and people need to have confidence. That's for sure.
Well, and that's hopefully, no matter which side of the election you were on in the States or which side election you're on in BC or maybe Canada even, in the end, we have to work with all governments, right? And so we look at the numbers, and governments should look at the numbers. We have a lot fewer pre-sales. I mean, when the statistics come out, and as you know, they're not really on MLS. So we will only know maybe by the middle to the end of November, when developers going to say, well, we're going to quit marketing or we're going to continue, that we know how many are actually still looking and how the pre-sale market turned out. But so when you take a look at that, the British Columbia Real Estate Association said, you know what, we need to figure out how to get foreign investment coming back, you know, because what people don't realize is that commercial investment is still allowed. It's only single family or rather residential real estate that foreigners are not allowed to buy yet another 2 years, as we pointed out last week. But there's a lot of foreign money that doesn't understand what is an underused home tax and how does this affect me? And we need to get to our government and clarify this. I think the British Columbia Real Estate Association also said that both the speculation and vacancy tax and what they say, the yet to be implemented residential property short-term holding profit tax, so that's a mouthful, essentially a flipping tax, they should be merged with the federal tax. Why do we have to have a speculation tax federally and in British Columbia and a flipping tax federally and in British Columbia? It just isn't right. You know, I don't know why I keep saying that I don't blame the governments that they try to do the right thing. Well, I wonder whether they are.
Well, you know, and I've said this many times before, the government, my dad always says the government needs money and they know who has it, you and I. And so, you know, and everybody else listening here. So the reality of it is that it looks like both governments are trying to eat each other's breakfast, because, you know, they're trying to take it provincially and they're trying to take it federally. So yeah, you're getting yourself caught in the middle of something like with a flipping tax. So I pay my regular tax on flipping, you know, if it's a business income, right? And now I've got to pay an additional 20% to the province. I mean, something's, you know, you can't, the government would therefore receive 70% of the profit. If you're in a 50% tax bracket, the government would receive 70% of the profit. Hang on, you didn't take any risk, right? You didn't invest any money. You certainly didn't invest any time, and you didn't have any ideas. You just took 70% of the profit. Now, I don't know about you, Ozzy, but I've got no ideas of a business here, but I'd like to partner with you. And I have no idea, and I have no money to invest. And by the way, certainly don't ask me for my time, because I'm not going to share any of it with you. However, I want you to give me 70% of the profit. That doesn't make sense. You'd kick me to the curb.
No, but Ozzy then says, no, I don't even care. I just stopped with you. You know, we know now we have developers leaving to the States. It's a fact. They're going to be, at least they know what's going to happen. And we have developers not building, backing off, or getting rental purpose buildings, which are a different kind of an animal. So the point is, the average investor, the pre-sale buyer, is backing off. And so here we have uncertainty all around. And the other thing is, the only thing that's certain, when I look at the property transfer tax, the British Columbia Real Estate Association made the point that was launched in 1987. It was supposed to be a luxury tax and was intended to apply to only 5% of real estate transactions. Now it's 100% in the Lower Mainland, and it's $2 billion that our BC government collects, as opposed to Alberta, where there's no such tax.
Yeah, they're addicted to it. So you look at this, you know, we were talking earlier about the flipping tax. So let's say my mother wants to buy a place. My mom and dad, they're going to move into a new condo, not a new condo, but a, you know, resale condo. So, you know, and it's an age 55 plus complex. Okay. So, you know, now normally people that are in 55 plus, a lot of them are in the more advanced ages. They'll move in at 55, but they might move out at 80. You know, maybe they go to a home, or unfortunately they pass away. So, but they haven't fixed anything. They haven't renovated anything. So what is supposed to happen? My mom's supposed to go in there and renovate it herself, my mom and dad? Or is it better if somebody buys it, fixes it up, and makes it to the standard that my mom and dad would like? So there's a need for somebody that buys a place and fixes it up. Now, our government's trying to discourage people from doing that. What about a first-time buyer? They don't want to buy a place that's in squalor that they don't like. And guess what? They only have, let's say they have 10% down, or maybe they've scraped together, they've been fortunate, they've scraped together 20%. So what happens is they put down all their money. They don't have money to fix the flooring and change the appliances and rip out the bathroom. They would rather buy it from somebody that's already done that, pay the retail price, and let somebody else buy it wholesale, because they can't. So they're going to have to live like that for five more years until they, fix it themselves or get enough money saved up.
Well, and then there's so many other things also in and around. Again, the British Columbia Real Estate Association, as you know, is now putting out a brand new contract of purchase and sale. And this contract of purchase and sale is dealing with the GST, because let's say you buy a brand new condo for $1 million or a house for $2 million, the GST is due. But the government doesn't need necessarily say who pays it. So since nobody says who pays it, and the buyer assumes the owner will pay, and the owner assumes the buyer, at closing time, often at completion date, there's some battles. Now, in order to avoid that, the British Columbia Real Estate Association came up with this new contract where it is now going to be a given. It's the default position that the GST is paid by the seller, and it's part of the price. So on that $1 million, $50,000 goes to the government. So clearly, as a realtor, you and your fellow realtors have to explain that to the seller, because if the seller, he can make a different arrangement, saying, I want the GST paid by the purchaser and puts it in the contract. Good. But if he doesn't do it, now there's a default. There's not going to be any lawsuits or this or that. You signed a contract agreement, you know, the sales contract, and that's due now. Now, here's the thing when you just talked about renovations. When you take a look at what GST applies to, vacant lots, operating farm, commercial property, newly constructed or substantially renovated property. Is that what you're just talking about, your mother and their friends? What does substantially mean? So now you substantially renovated property and you have to pay GST? It is, you know, what about the GST you pay on materials? Hopefully you can deduct it. But the one that really fries my bacon, really is unbelievable, is that if you buy a brand new condo now, take possession, it's empty unit now, it's nice, brand new, and you pay GST. Let's say you paid $1 million, you paid your 50,000 GST. Things change, you get moved. A month later, you realize, oh, I got to move to Toronto, and you put it up for sale. Right. When you sell this brand new unit again, it GST is due again for the second time. Right? Yeah. I mean, who makes these rules? I say, well, it's perfectly logical because it's still a new unit and new units. No, but I already paid it a month ago. No, it's irrelevant. It's due twice. I mean, hello, pre-sale assignments attracted, all the changes in use. And this is where there's another thing. I always feel that, we create any kind of an income in our residence, and I always think that's right. What they're going to use to kill.
Well, you've said it before. You know, if somebody puts a business in their house, you know, they write off two rooms of their house for their business, or you know, and even if you work for the government and working at home nowadays, I don't know. And then, or if you put a coach home, you always talk about the coach home. So you went up. You built your coach home. Well, you changed the use. Is that taxable money now? If you sell the property, is that percentage or portion of the house taxable, or a suite in the basement? You know, and it just like when you say about paying capital gains, or not capital gains, GST on the condo a second time, I'd have an argument with that. However, that's something that's an accountant question. I don't know the answer to that.
That's a good point.
Yeah, to me, it's insanity to pay the same tax twice. It's just like if I make $100 and I pay taxes on it, and I pay you $50, you pay 50 taxes on it. Hang on, we're paying taxes on top of this. It's the same $100 I gave it to you. How many times do you have to pay taxes? The government does quite well.
Well, the thing is, on this, there's two things here. One is the maybe you lose the tax-free deduction on your residence. So if you have 33% on your 33-foot lot and you have a coach house on it or a laneway house, then that 33%, I'm absolutely convinced, will be grabbed. You have $1 million profit, well, 35% goes to the government. Profit is taxable. Now, but the thing is this, that now the GST is also due on, and this is according to BC Real Estate Association, that property that has been used for commercial purpose, such as nightly or vacation rental, also attracts GST. Now, the GST is everywhere, right? And so since governments will be needing money, and you rest assured, they will be needing a lot of money. I mean, we just what we talked about, the 40% mortgage at $6.5 billion in the next 5 years. Guess what they're looking for? Real estate, number one, real estate, number two, and real estate, number three, on all fronts, speculation, flipping, anything not to build. But none of it works towards the construction of new housing.
Right. Well, by the way, I was just listening to that, just like your old book, forget about location, it's timing. So your new book will have to be what you just said. You know, here's the government taxation on this.
Tax on tax. Yeah.
Tax on tax. And I mean, when the government's making more of a profit than you are on your business, something seriously wrong. So we've got to be very careful, and they've got to be careful that they don't run business people out of town, you know, and that's important. Yeah. I mean,
our market is still small business, right? And small business is in trouble. When I live in the West End of Vancouver, countless shops have closed down, restaurants, you know, it's still, no matter how it's so much better. No, it is not. We have more problems out there, and we have to work on it. And more taxes are not designed to fix anything.
Well, and, you know, we talked about the other day about, you know, so you change your use from the condo being a monthly rental or an annual rental to a short-term rental, which we're not allowed to do anymore out here. But, you know, but that Ontario couple that got charged, tax on it, and they paid $77,000 in tax because they changed the use of it. And now it was deemed a hotel, basically. So again, if you're a practitioner in real estate or anything, get accounting advice for sure, because things are changing, and they're changing quite quickly. And we don't even know all the answers, like you said, about what's the new rules of this.
That is probably the most important thing that we've said today is we're not, neither me nor you are accountants. Neither you nor me are we advising on taxes. Anything that I'm talking about is opinion of what might happen or what is happening or how we interpret what's happening. I want to make it clear, don't take our word for it. Don't take the word from your realtor for it. Your realtor actually has no business. He will just tell you, go see an accountant. And today, I think this is excellent advice. You pay a couple of $100 to your accountant and get the facts straight, because your own situation also might be different, or there might be a way that you can take advantage. I was just talking to an apartment block specialist who says you should put it in the building into a bear trust. You should, you know, the way you should get your mortgage, you should arrange it so there's no penalty. You don't think about all these things, you know, when you're just out to do a thing, a purpose. So get the expert advice. You need an expert realtor in this marketing, an expert mortgage broker. And then you have to take a deep breath and hope for the best.
Yeah, I still think there's good opportunities out here, you know, with the market changing as it is, you know, with the fluctuation of prices being a little bit higher, a little bit lower at times. You know, you definitely want to have a professional. When you structure something, make sure you've got a good accountant and a lawyer to help you with that kind of stuff. You know, like you said, what Dan was talking about, you know, put it in a bear trust. It's important to do things right so that you don't wind up finding out that, oh my gosh, if I had structured it like this, I would have done a lot better tax-wise. We don't, you know, our job is to pay our taxes, obviously, but our job is also to minimize our taxes. We're not supposed to be out freely doling out our money to the government because of poor advice or something like that.
Well, it's a legal precedent where a judge in the past has said the taxpayer has a right to avoid, but not to evade, right?
Exactly.
So anything that we can do to minimize taxes is a good thing.
Right.
And thank you very much. Time flies when we. I had a sense that I was talking more, and people that know me know that I am totally in love with my own voice. So you're very patient, but you're holding your own. So see you next week.
Well, I appreciate that, Ozzy, but I have to share this. As I always have, I've always enjoyed the information. You do your homework, you know your stuff, and the information you share with us. As I've seen, every time I go out with you, somebody comes up to you and says, Ozzy, you've made such a difference in my life. You know, and the stories they tell you, it's so amazing. And folks, you know, you get all this information. Like I say, follow Ozbuzz, follow Ozzy on his YouTube channel, because the information, and when I get that, when we were walking down near your house and that fellow says, hey, are you Ozzy? And then he tells you he's a firefighter, if you remember, and he's a firefighter telling you how, because of listening to you on BCTV or whatever it was, it made such a change and he bought two extra houses, and what a great opportunity. And it must be the accolades to you. It's so neat to see. And by the way, I share the same thing. You've made such a difference in my life, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're very kind. But in the end, it's the actions we all take individually. So we can understand everything, but we got to do. Thank you, and see you next week.
Thank you.